All right, I want you to take your Bible this evening and turn to Isaiah chapter number 14, if you will. Isaiah chapter number 14. This is lesson number 7 on the subject of destructive behavior. Destructive behavior. Isaiah chapter number 14 is where we're going to begin. I want you to find verse number 12, and then if you would stand with me, please, Isaiah chapter 14, starting with verse number 12. The Bible says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look at thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms?" If you'll look back at me, this is Lucifer being cast out of heaven due to a process. Say, what did he do? He just did what he wanted. The Bible says there's a time in history when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Very destructive time. It's a destructive thing to just do what you want. And that's the lesson this evening. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Tonight we will go to a level of spirituality that some are not used to. Father, may we be challenged in a unique and a special way. Holy Ghost of God, reach down from heaven and do something supernatural in our thinking. I think, Father, tonight, if the people will let you, you could mold their thinking in a powerful way. Help us to take away from this teaching an angle of spirituality that maybe some have never considered before. Bless us tonight with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read to you another verse, and the Bible says this. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." To his own way. Let me tell you the story of Isaiah 14. Satan wanted to do his own thing. Satan wanted to be God, and he actually fights God to get his own way. There were three archangels in heaven. Each one of them had a little group of angels that served under him. Lucifer, or Satan, led his group to rebel against God. They started a war in heaven because that's what Lucifer wanted to do. He was going to do what he wanted to do. Well, Lucifer was defeated and he was cast out of heaven and one third of his angels. Then he was mad, and he was bitter, he was angry. Then he decided he wanted to hurt God. Nobody has ever wanted to hurt God like Lucifer wanted to hurt God. His desire was to be as destructive toward God as possible. And he decided he would figure out the way that he could hurt God most. Well, he thought, how could I hurt God? It's kind of hard for me to directly hurt him. Maybe I could hurt him through his children. And so he decided, you know what? If I could hurt God's kids, that would hurt God. And if I could help his kids to destroy themselves, God loves them ultimately, I get to hurt God. He knew his best way to hurt God was to hurt God's children. Now, listen, Satan knew at that point that he had been assigned to hell. He knew that Matthew 25:41 says, "Then shall I say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." He knew that. And because of that, he decided to do as much destruction as he could, striking at God in an area that would bring a lot of pain. He's going to go after his kids. Let me tell you something. I don't think Satan necessarily has a will for your life. I don't think he has any set way he wants you to go. He has no set way he wants you to behave. He has no set way he wants you to travel. He just wants you to go anyway, but God's way. You say, why? Because that would hurt God. Satan knows that we really don't like him. So Satan knows that, you know, I think if Satan, you know, that if you picture him like Hollywood depicts him, that he's got the red suit and the horns and, you know, the long tail and the pitchfork. Look, if Satan showed up at your house, knocked on the door and said, look, I'd like to come in and talk with you for a few minutes. I got a plan that I'd like to share with you for your life. You'd say, are you crazy? Get off my front porch. So he's too smart to do it that way. I don't think the devil is concerned about what way you go in life as long as you don't go God's way, because he knows if you don't go God's way, that hurts God, that hurts you, and that's destructive. The devil's not dedicated to making us do what he wants. The devil's dedicated to getting us to do anything but what God wants. He knows that God has a specific purpose for every life. And he's for you doing anything but that purpose that God had set aside. You know, the devil knows his best chance to get us to do wrong is convince us to do what we want. What we want. Choose anything you want to do. It's your life. Live it your way. But folks, I got to tell you something. God has a will for your life. And Satan wants you to do anything you want, just as long as you don't do what God wants. We go astray when we go our own way. See, our way is destructive. You say, compared to what? Compared to what God wanted. The devil does not necessarily want us to follow his path. He wants us to follow our own path. He wants us to do what we want. He wants us to go where we want. He wants us to say what we want. He wants us to dress the way we want. He wants us to act the way we want. He wants us to talk the way we want. He wants us to behave the way we want. Satan's not trying to get you to do what Satan wants you to do. Satan's trying to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And he knew that if he came to you and said, this is what I want, you'd say, I'm never going to do what you want. I'll just go do what I want. And he says, that's all I wanted. I just want you not to do what God wants you to do. That's the devil's plan. The devil's plan is to get you to follow your own plan. He knows that more than likely we're very desirous to please ourselves. Who wants to please the devil? Come on, let's face it. That's a freak. So the devil said, just be your own freak. You don't have to do what I say, says the devil. Do what you want. But whatever you do, don't do what he wants. So he tries to keep us away from God's plan by having us just make our own plan. Satan uses you against you, which then is ultimately against God. Satan's plan to destroy God is to get you to destroy you. And he knows that hurts God. In every area of the Christian life, Satan makes options that we can choose without having to yield to God's choice. And you know, sometimes his options look very good. His options look somewhat like God's will, but they're not God's will. His options sound somewhat good, but they're not God's will. Satan's options even smell good. They don't smell like they're supposed to. He just wants you to do what you want to do. There's a word that kind of sums that up, but it makes it way too simple. It's just pride. Where'd this whole mess start? Satan said, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll do what I want to do. You want to be like Satan? Well, I'm not. I'm not going to drink blood, and I'm not going to give sacrifices of goats, and I'm not going to do any of that. Oh no! All you got to do is just do what you want. It's what got him into his mess. Satan makes available to you and I options. These options are to try to get us away from God's will. Let me talk to you about the options. Not a complicated sermon, but I will tell everyone under the sound of my voice. The concept that I'm teaching you, this is a root concept. It's a root belief, and everybody needs to put it into their spiritual computer and never forget it. We seem to think that if we don't traipse off and join some satanic cult, that we're not being influenced by the devil, and that's not true. He influences us through our pride and our own will. And if we won't follow him directly, he said, didn't follow me indirectly. You say, how? By following yourself. Because if you follow anything other than Jesus, it's wrong. Even following yourself. Let me give you some options that he comes up with. For instance, he says, and remember that verse, Isaiah 53:6, it says, we have turned everyone to his own way. I'm telling you, that's destructive. That's a destructive behavior. What are these options? Well, we've got the go your own way salvation. Right? Go your own way salvation. Now, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Satan says, you know what? There's a lot of salvations out there. Pick the one that you like. But wait a minute. There's only one. If there were 100 of them, there's only one that's right. You know, the other 99 will send you straight to hell. But, you know, the devil says, let's give you a lot of opportunity. You make a decision on your own. Who does God think he is to dictate that there's only one? Come on. Well, so then you really have two salvations taught. The one that is by grace through faith, that is a gift of God, and then works. Works, lordship, salvation, whatever you want to call it. Well, really, this thing of working your way to heaven, it doesn't sound too bad if you're a person of character, because we all know you ought to work. Work is right. But the work was done by God that makes salvation available. Sounds good to people of character. Give your money for salvation. To an honest person, they say, I ought to pay my way. The only thing is, somebody else already paid your way. And that's Jesus. Change your life for salvation. Sounds good, but that's not God's way. He's the one that lived the perfect life to give you salvation. We were already flunky spiritually and couldn't qualify to do it. But the devil says, look, doesn't this make sense? Just do what you want. Do good deeds to get to heaven. And the problem is, that's not what the Bible teaches. So, there's a go your own way salvation, isn't there? Now, if you go your own way for salvation, is that destructive? Yeah, it's just called eternal hell. There's go your own way baptism. Matthew 3:16 says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Well, first of all, there's some that say, well, baptism will save you. Well, I don't know why Jesus got baptized. He didn't need saved. Well, that disproved that. So, Jesus needed to be baptized because it is a step of obedience, and he was perfect. So he was going to obey in every aspect of request from God. But the Bible clearly teaches that you get baptized not to save yourself. It's a step of obedience. And baptism comes after salvation by immersion. You say immersion. What's that mean? Under the water. And, preferably, back up out of the water. Depends on if you're baptizing your mother-in-law. But do you understand that God had a baptism and Satan came along and said, let's broaden the field. Let's make it so they can choose. Do what you want. Baptism is after salvation. Baptism is always under the water. In other words, sprinkling is wrong. You say, but that's just one of the options. It's sinfully wrong. The devil, he comes up with these options. lots of them, baby baptism. Well, see, you don't need to get baptized unless you're saved. But they'll baptize babies. You say, but it's so cute. I know, but it's so cutely stupid according to the Scripture. Satan's alternatives are not always vile. But I got to tell you something. Anything contrary to the Word of God is wrong. And is virtually destructive. You say, toward who? A holy God. Sprinkling is not God's way. You go all the way under the water. Baptism before salvation is not God's way. Baptism to be saved is not God's way. But there are all sorts of churches out there that they're just pick your own style of baptism. I have to tell you something, folks. I am honor bound by God as a pastor to teach one salvation because that's God's salvation. I wasn't given, it's not multiple choice salvation. And then when it comes to baptism, well, just think of how many people you could get baptized if we could have it just five or six different ways. Just come, get it the way you want it. It's have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. Come, we'll baptize you before you're saved or after you're saved. We'll sprinkle you. We'll spit on you. We'll roll you in the water. We'll throw water balloons at you if you want. Have it your way. The only problem is we're not to have it our way. We're to have it God's way. And that's how Satan started out. Satan in heaven said, I'm going to do what I want. And Christians have been doing what they want ever since. Go your own way salvation. Go your own way baptism. There's go your own way Lord's Supper. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. It says, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. God gave us the Lord's Supper. So you know, biblically, it's not communion. That is a term from Catholicism, but I don't want to say that because somebody would get mad. But God gave the Lord's Supper to the local New Testament church. It was to be a time of remembrance of Jesus dying for us. It is a picture of his blood being shed and his body being broken. That juice does not become his blood. And that bread does not become his body. For that to be true, we would be re-crucifying him every time we took the Lord's Supper, and he died, according to the Scripture, once for all. It is merely a picture of. But do you know something? There are a variety of approaches to the Lord's Supper. Do it your way. Have it your way. The devil made the option. He called the sacraments. It's sacrilegious, is what it is. The sacraments are sacrilegious. They're wrong. Look, the devil leads man to lead himself, therefore leading them away from God, which is destructive to God's plan. So we have go your own way salvation. We have go your own way baptism. We have go your own way Lord's Supper. You have go your own way spirit fullness. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? It goes on. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can witness. God's primary purpose for giving the Holy Spirit power was to make us soul winners, to make a difference in the lives of others. Now, the devil always produces these options. And so, somebody comes along and says, well, the Holy Spirit has to do with speaking in gibberish and other tongues. Well, I'm very sorry, that's not true. It's not babblings that only God understands. The day of Pentecost, they spake in known languages and heard in known languages. But I'll promise you, anything that is pure and true with God, the devil gives options. And then the devil walks away and says, you know what, human race, make up your own mind. Do what you want. So there's do what you want about the Holy Spirit of God. See it the way you want to see it. So man creates his own proofs of being filled with the Spirit of God. The primary purpose of the Spirit of God was to give us the strength, the courage, and the ability to witness and help someone to make a transaction from being lost to being saved. Christ came into this world to save sinners. The Holy Spirit was not given so religious people could get together in an ecumenical movement, wave their hands, roll their eyes in the back of their head, swaying to contemporary music. That Holy Spirit was given so we could get people saved. It was given to convict of sin, not to help us to feel good about our sin. He was there to comfort. But if you look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he said, I'm given the Holy Spirit so you can be witnesses. So go your own way with the Holy Spirit. I know people that say, the Spirit led me. Let me make something very clear to you. The Spirit of God has never led anybody contrary to the Word of God. They are one and the self same. And the Spirit of God doesn't lead you to do things that are contrary to the Bible. Then there's go your own way Bibles. Do your own. Make your own. Psalm chapter 12, verse 7 says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forward. It's speaking of His Word. God promised to preserve His Word. He promised to preserve His Word, according to that, for all generations. I believe that God preserved for our generation in the English language the King James Bible. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He said His Word was inspired and His Word is preserved. Now, He tells us in Matthew 4:4, He says, But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, God commanded that you and I live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. God would not command us to do something without making available to us the wherewithal to do it. He therefore would have to preserve every inspired word so we could live by it. You say, how could He do that? How could He do anything that He does? He happens to be God. Did you know that you don't have to understand how God preserved His eternal word for us? You don't have to understand it. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Believe it. It's a thing called faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you know what? I can't even keep up with how many versions on the rewrite. Since God didn't get it right, maybe man can get her fixed up. We don't need to rewrite it. We just need to reread it. But we've got go your own way Bibles. Go your own way Lord's Supper. Go your own way baptism. Go your own way salvation. Remember, Satan could take a shot directly at God, but what's he going to do to him? He's God. He said, well, I know how to hurt him. If I can hurt his kids, that'll hurt God. So Satan comes to us and said, follow me. And we all say, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more. We're not going to follow you anywhere. He said, all right, just go do what you want. Say, okay, that'll be fine. We'll do what we want, but we're not going with you. And he goes, yeah, you sucker. Go your own way, love. Go your own way, love. Let me explain love from the Bible. John 14, 15. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. You say, well, if you love God, you get tingly. I don't know where that's at in the Bible. If you love God, your palms get sweaty. I don't know where that's at in the Bible. Keeping God's commandments is proof of your love for God. The more you live right, the more you love Him. The less you live right, the less you love Him. Ephesians 4:15 says, But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. You know something? Here it says, speaking the truth equals love. This may be hard to swallow, but when your pastor gets up and throws an ever-loving fit about your sin and tells you it's wrong, he's proving his love for you. Because here it says, speaking the truth in love. If I lie to you about your sin, I don't love you. If I tell you the truth about your sin, I love you. If you love God, you live what's right. So if you want a thermometer to figure out how much you love God, figure out how much you're living what you know to live for God. And you say, well, I'm not living for God in a lot of areas. Well, you don't love God in a lot of areas. Some religious people say they love God, and they think that is getting this glazed look in their eyes. And they carry their Bible in a very religious fashion. And they know how to say, well, praise God. Hallelujah. And then they live like the devil, and they say, but I love God. I'm sorry. Your behavior tells us otherwise. Today, love among people is translated lust. Two people that are not married will be intimate and they say we were making love. No, that's lust. That's not love. God created love. True love does what is best for the object, not what is best for self. If you say you love a man or a woman and you're not married to them, then you will keep your hands off them sexually because that's what God wants. By the way, that's best for them. So a young man says, if you love me, you'll let me. And what she ought to say back is, if you love me, you won't. Satan wants you to express love in any way you want as long as you don't do it God's way. We're to love God's way. That's the purest way. Got a bunch more, but let me give you one more. There's a go your own way salvation and a go your own way baptism and a go your own way Lord's Supper. Go your own way, spirit fullness, and go your own way, Bible. Go your own way with love. But whatever you do, don't go God's way. And remember, Satan knows if he tries to talk you and I personally into doing something, we're not that dumb. We'll say, no way, Satan. So Satan says, all right, go ahead and pick which way you want to go. And we think, because we didn't follow his plan, that we're all right. Well, there's only one plan we're to follow. That's God's, not ours. Someone said to me, they said, preacher, have you ever thought about quitting the ministry? And I said, I sure have. Said, did you want to? I said, sure did. What kept you from doing it? I didn't have any choice. I know what God told me to do, and I'm not supposed to do what I want. Let's do this one. Go your own way, church. There's a couple verses here in the Bible from the book of Revelation that are interesting. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 9 says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 3, 9 mentions the synagogue of Satan again. That word synagogue, it means assembly. The word church means assembly. The local New Testament church is a called out assembly of believers. We're called out of the world to be assembled, and that's what God calls the church. And so, somebody thinks that they can have a home Bible study, and that's church. That's not a called out assembly. Say, well, we had a cottage prayer meeting and that took the place of church. It did not. That's not church. Radio preaching cannot take the place of church. TV preaching cannot take the place of church. Online videos can't take the place of church. Your Christian school can't take the place of a local New Testament church. God established a local New Testament church and expected us to go to the local New Testament church. You say, it's inconvenient. Well, that's pretty tough. It was inconvenient to be crucified, to be put in a grave, and to raise after 3 days to save your sin sick soul. If God wanted you to get up on Sunday morning and carry your lazy carcass down to the church and be in the New Testament church, that's what you're supposed to do. And the devil comes along and says, let me give you a bunch of options. But you're supposed to go to church. And folks, do you have any idea what a wave is traveling across our country right now? People don't need the local New Testament church anymore. They're gonna listen to it on the radio, watch it on the TV. They're gonna replace it with something else. Man tries to replace the local New Testament church with something a little more convenient. Maybe I could just do some secular service time. No, we're supposed to serve in our local New Testament church. God wants him, he wants his people to serve him through the church. Just remember the concept. The concept is Satan started out in heaven and said, I think I'll do what I want. And look at the mess we've had. You talk about destruction. And so, he's pretty good at convincing those he wants to influence to follow in his footsteps. So he comes to the human race and says, look, do what you want. And we think, at least we're not following Satan. He said, no, you're not. No. And so we walk right into it. Hook, line, and sinker. You say, well, what are we supposed to do? What God told you to do. And that's the only thing we're supposed to do. Isaiah 53:6, and we're done. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. To his own way. Sermon 7, destructive behavior. Turning to your own way. If you're not saved tonight, we'll have an altar call. If you need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian tonight and you say, you know, preacher, that affects me. I think God has spoken to my heart. I can see where, I wouldn't follow Satan, but I sometimes tend to just go ahead and do what I want instead of figuring out what the Bible says God wants. Folks, that's very destructive. It is the very root of destructiveness where Satan is found in Isaiah 14, doing what he wants. Would you let God see your hand if his Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart tonight in the midst of the Bible teaching? If you put your hand up and say, God, I've learned something. I've been challenged. I've been helped. You may put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, you feel free to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Just do what you want. Go where you want. Say what you want. You say, but I'm not out doing something demonic. You don't have to be doing something demonic. All you have to do is not be doing what is godly and what is holy, what is spiritual. The devil knows his best chance to get us to do wrong is to convince us to do what we want. To do what we want. Thereby not doing what God wants. The devil's will, God's will, and our will. Two of them are wrong. One of them is right. Satan uses you against you to ultimately be destructive toward God. Destructive behavior, number 7. This is the last time through the song. Ushers, if you'll have those prayer bulletins ready.